Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We failed to mention last hour, if you want to watch this program on the internet or follow us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in Today's Issues. Today's Issues on AFR, and you can watch the show there. You can interact with other listeners, and we're posting the stories that we talk about on our Today's Issues Facebook page as well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving celebration, and welcome back to another work week here for most people. We look forward to Christmas coming up in just a few weeks. I'm Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano with Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
We're going to get to Steve and the news momentarily, but first of all, Ed, you have an announcement, do you?
Well, listen, you mentioned Christmas coming up. AFA, I think it's been 10 or 11 years, we've been reminding people of the true meaning of Christmas by our annual Wear 'em and Share 'em campaign, which is has to do with our attractive Keep Christ in Christmas wristband. And a lot of our people are aware that we do this every year. It's a fun and simple way to remind friends, family, coworkers, anyone you meet that without Christ there would be no Christmas. People will see you with the wristband on. They say, "Oh, I like that." You give it to them. So you buy a pack of 10. It's very, very cheap. You can give them away. I'd be wearing mine, except that I actually got bit by fire ants this weekend and have a bunch of. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about that. So
I do.
So we're encouraging you to order your wristbands to share with your friends and family or even your entire church. Some businesses will buy a whole, passel load and put them in a box and give them away as people come in. Let's remind everyone about the one who gave the ultimate gift, Jesus. The wristbands are sold in sets of 10. If you purchase two or more sets, you will receive a discount. Yes, I said it, a discount. The wristbands are in stock, waiting for your order. They ship immediately. Your order includes free shipping. Here's how you get the Keep
Can
Christ
I see it
Christmas
before I order it?
Wristband. I think you go to afastore.net. Yeah. Afastore.net. You can see the wristbands. You can order the wristbands at afastore.net. If you don't want to go online, we understand that. Here's the phone number to call to get your sets of these wristbands. The number is 877-927-4917. That number again, 877-927-4917. That's the phone number for the AFA store. AFAstore.net online.
Get your Keep Christ in Christmas. Is that what it says, isn't it?
Yes, Keep Christ in Christmas.
Wristbands. They're very popular. You're going to love them, and you can hand them out, and they're very inexpensive. Yeah. Again, how to get them?
Well, you go to afastore.net to order online, or if you want to see the wristbands, you can look and see them at afastore.net, or call this number, 877-927-4917, 877-927-4917.
Steve, good morning.
Oh, boy, so much going on today. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ed. Good morning, everybody, or afternoon if you're on the East Coast. Let's start with just a couple things that are breaking today. We've been talking a little bit about signs that the economy may be slowing down a little bit. There's been some talk over the rate of interest rates, how that's going up, a little bit of inflation concerns. Well, GM has just thrown a monkey wrench into this today, announcing that it is going to close 5 plants and lay off 15% of its salaried staff. General Motors.
Wow, that's huge.
It is. The Lordstown, Ohio factory, the Detroit Hamtramck plant, the plant in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada, and then Baltimore and Warren, Michigan, 2 plants.
Is that because car sales are down, I guess?
Well, they do. They say they want to take into consideration a slowing market, and they are also in negotiations with their union, is having a little effect on all of this. So that's that. We'll watch that for you, let you know if there's anything. I think all in all, the economy's still strong.
Yeah, and a lot of very little unemployment, relatively speaking. The economy's had a fairly good growth rate in the last report, but there is sprinkled through. There are these setbacks.
That's right.
Which is part of a large market.
Yeah. I always like to remind myself the stock market, which has been doing very well, except of late, and it's lost a lot of late, is not the only indicator of a good economy.
Right.
All right. This has been coming in for a while. We've kind of seen this slowly coming, but this is the most, I guess, brazen affront to religion that we've seen out of our social media companies yet. Twitter has published, I think it came out today, a brand new terms of service or hate speech policy. And what it has said is that it is going to ban anybody who deliberately targets a transgender person by dead naming them.
What does that mean?
Dead naming them is by giving their original name. So we say Bruce Jenner, not Caitlyn.
Caitlyn.
Saying Bruce Jenner is dead naming. That name is dead to them. So if you call a person by their previous name or if you refuse to use their preferred pronoun, it's called misgendering a person, you'll get kicked off of Twitter and perhaps permanently.
That's the new definition of hate speech?
That is now
which
under
company?
Twitter.
Okay.
That is now under their hate speech policy. So this is I'm reading from their policy now, and it says, we recognize that people experience abuse on Twitter. It can jeopardize their ability to express themselves. Ironically, they say. And then they say, we prohibit targeting individuals with repeated slurs, tropes, or other content that intends to dehumanize, degrade, or reinforce negative or harmful stereotypes about a protected category. This includes targeted misgendering or deadnaming of transgender individuals.
I had never heard that phrase. Misgendering, I've heard, but deadnaming.
Yeah, deadnaming.
That's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Well, you can't do it anymore on Twitter. So, gentlemen, Twitter is a massive company. I'm sure Facebook will likely follow suit. And people that believe in a biblical version of sexuality and that believe in science are going to have a choice to make.
So you're saying if I were to be using Twitter, and I don't, and I tweeted out a Bruce Jenner was a great Olympian. That is dead name. That would be a violation of their new policy.
It is dead naming. Someone would need to report you, and then maybe Twitter would have to consider whether you're targeting that person. But because we're AFA and we've expressed biblical values, it isn't far from wrong. But if you refer to Bruce as he and say he made a mistake in changing in getting the surgeries or
that's,
saying
that's
he's
hate
a woman.
Speech?
Yeah. According to Twitter.
Okay.
But I think what concerns me is that Christians are gonna have to start making or people that don't buy into the transgender madness are gonna have to start making a choice pretty soon. Because a lot of people use Twitter for a lot of very good purposes. I use it all the time to gather news and to break news, to tweet news.
Now, do you have to violate their policy while using Twitter? Or in your case, if you use Twitter to send out stories and you wrote a story that that maybe dismantles the transgender ideology,
I think
and you send a link with your tweet, could you be banned?
They're not that specific in their terms of service, but we have seen people be banned for tweeting out links to articles that do this. So, yeah, I would say that it would not be a stretch.
That seems like that would come next. And then I think what would happen is Steve Jordahl is a hater because he has written articles. Even though he didn't tweet the link, someone finds that Steve Jordahl, who uses Twitter, has written these articles. I think that would be the step after the one we're talking about where Steve Jordahl, you're no longer welcome.
It very well may be, although
Twitter
I'm
universe.
Thinking that this one might be the end of being able to use Twitter, period. I mean, I might be gone from Twitter before then because I don't know how to conduct a rational conversation about these topics, and Twitter is a great place to start a conversation about these topics and not use correct terms.
I can live without Twitter.
I haven't been on Twitter since it became
I mean, it's
it'll hurt the ministry.
It, How?
Well, we
because
do have
we use Twitter.
We do use.
I know that, but
I think Walker and Wesley both use.
Yeah, but
Twitter. And Facebook is if we have no social.
I don't
media
agree
presence,
with this. This is the way the world is trending. This, especially the elite, Hollywood elite, the entertainment elite, the news elite. But you know,
social media.
I'm just
giants.
Saying, Twitter is not food and. I don't want to diminish it, but I'm just saying that.
And at some point, this is what I hope happens. At some point, you're going to have a competitor for Twitter and Facebook where people who are banned are increasingly frustrated with the political correctness in the social media, Silicon Valley, you know, kind of subset of American culture. They're going to want to go somewhere else, and you'll have like Fox News and CNN. You'll have conservative.
Yeah.
The conservative version of Twitter and Facebook, where
I guess
everyone goes.
Just, to me, it just strikes me as extremely sensitive. If you're going to say and a misuse of the word hate, too. To say calling Bruce Jenner, I just did it.
Yeah.
On Twitter, Bruce Jenner, instead of calling Bruce Jenner Caitlyn Jenner, that is. Quote hate speech. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just bizarre.
Thus the name, just the word. Thus the word snowflake.
Well,
I mean that's what's used to in conversations to say you are so sensitive, you're gonna melt in a little bit of sunshine here. And
I know.
And
I just anyway.
And I know you guys don't mean it like this, but it's more than just an incidental thing. If you control the language, you control the debate. And they got the language. They control the language so that anything that doesn't agree with them is hate. And so they have redefined hate so that everybody now has a common conception of hate as simply something that you disagree with or that might make someone offended or might someone feel bad. The other thing about this particular issue is that the reason that I believe that they are so sensitive about this is because it is so obvious that they are not what they claim to be.
Right.
So the minute someone says, "No, you know, I'm pretty sure you're not a woman," they have to stomp that out as quickly and as harshly as they can.
The emperor has no clothes,
and it's obvious which gender the emperor is.
that's right. Well, this is true. We're trending into bizarro world in Western civilization in America because it's so. Public in everything that happens worldwide, we're leading the charge off the sanity cliff. I'm sure I'm massacring metaphors here, but that was a metaphor mashup.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
It was ugly, wasn't it?
It was the mash.
It was
the metaphor mash. All right.
Next up, Steve.
Hey, can we talk about John Ellen Chow?
Why not?
I hadn't talked about John Ellen Chow in
John
a long
Allen
time.
Chow.
Yeah,
yes.
Great dish.
Him either.
It's a great dish is what I got to say. You got to try it before you knock it.
Let me stop you right now before we go too far into this. John Ellen Chow was a missionary that attempted
to... Oh, my gosh.
Hold on just a minute, Steve.
I am sorry.
Me too.
I thought we were going somewhere else.
It's my apologies.
Because
I did not realize the gentleman's name.
I should have given you a heads up on that.
Yeah, that's
probably
not something to joke
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely
I take that back.
Me as well.
Yeah,
this
no.
This is a sad story.
I didn't mean to set you guys up like that, but
John
Ellen...
You laughed.
John did.
You laughed at her joke. Anyway, in all seriousness, this is what we're about to talk about is a very tragic story.
Do you guys out there remember the story of Jim Elliot?
Yes,
in the 50s. He was a missionary, 56 or so, that went to a South American tribe, an unreached people group, and basically tried to evangelize them, flew in with several other missionaries, and they were killed. Through Gates of Splendor is his wife,
Elizabeth Elliot
wrote the phenomenal book. Well, this is a modern-day retelling of this story. John Ellen Chow was a 27-year-old young man who graduated from Oral Roberts University, and God put on his heart the Sentinelese people. Sentinel Islands is an island kind of halfway between India and Thailand in the Indian Ocean there. And it is a cut-off island with a people group that is known to be very hostile to any outsiders. And God put on his heart to share the gospel with these people. And so he went, and it cost him his life. I have excerpts from what he wrote to his parents the night before he left. He said, "You guys might think I'm crazy, but I think it's worth it to declare Jesus to these people. Please do not be angry at them or God if I get killed. Rather, please live your lives in obedience to whether he has called you, and I'll see you again when I pass through the veil. This is not a pointless thing. The eternal lives of this tribe is at hand, and I cannot wait to see them around the throne of God worshiping in their own language, as Revelation 7 says. I love you all, and I pray none of you love anything in this world more than Jesus Christ. Solo Deo Gloria."
Is this what this gentleman wrote before he went in?
Yeah. This is a letter to his parents, 27 years old.
Okay, here's the question I have. Obviously, he's deceased, so we can't ask him, but I appreciate the zeal for the gospel of Christ mm-hmm. that this man exhibited by his words here. But on a practical level, how did he expect to accomplish this mission? Because was he going in with Bibles written in the language of these people?
He didn't know the language of these people.
Well, then how are you going to communicate with them?
He was going to get with them and learn.
That's foolish.
It might be.
It is foolish because he's dead now. Huh? It's not might be. I don't think this was wise on this gentleman.
You're not the only person that has expressed that with regard to the story.
That's different from Jim Elliot. They had a plan in place, I believe. They weren't just going in there saying, "I'm going to witness for Christ."
This stretches my memory because I remember reading 5-6 years ago when there was a movie out and everything, maybe longer than that. But they had kind of primed the pump some. This was Ecuador, wasn't it?
It was in the Amazon jungle somewhere.
Yeah. So they had flown planes and dropped supplies and done to try to prime the pump a little bit.
And they had actually gone.
But they knew
and
it was dangerous.
They did. They had gone and actually made a friendly encounter with some of these tribe.
Okay, it seems different from what this gentleman did. He just, again, I would like to know if maybe there's a plan I don't know about that he had.
Well,
it doesn't seem to be very well thought out.
We know, I have.
I didn't even know his name until a few minutes ago.
I got an email from the sending organization that sent him expressing sorrow and grief at his loss. It might be something that I do in the next couple of days, call him and find out what kind of training he was given to go to an unreached people group. By definition, a group like this, which has no contact with the outside world forever, you won't know the language. He hired some local fishermen to have him navigate the blockade. The Indian government has a blockade around.
So he violated Indian law.
He violated Indian law to get there
intentionally.
Yes. And in fact, some of the pilots of these fishermen have been arrested because of this. He went on the first day. When he first got there, he shouted, "I love you, and Jesus loves you," and started trying to sing hymns or something. And he had brought a gift of fish, and that kind of a thing. They shot him. It actually pierced a waterproof Bible that he brought with him. He ran.
They shot him with a gun.
No,
with
an arrow. And arrows.
An arrow with a metal spear, metal tip. And then he went back the next time and told the fishermen to leave him there. He thought he'd be okay. And the next day they saw him, his body being dragged away by the islanders. So there's two sides, I guess.
Is there a sending agency for
there
him?
There is.
It'll be interesting to see what they have to say because there's a line there we all want to see Christian missionary work done around the world, but I have a hard time believing a reputable sending agency would allow this man to go in to a hostile environment by himself in addition to violating laws of India. That's another whole question about whether that's appropriate to do.
Well, let's not forget Christian missionaries for 2,000 years, the first ones into areas The Apostle Thomas, at least church tradition, says he was killed by arrows in India. And so the first ones into, I remember reading stories about Christian missionaries going into minister to the Vikings, you know, to the Scandinavian peoples. Mm-hmm. They would often be killed, Spanish missionaries killed by Native Americans in the west of this country. I'm not saying that there wasn't a better way to do this, maybe try to reach, but it wasn't uncommon in our early church history for the first members of missionary teams to be martyred as they went to convert pagan peoples.
And we don't know how this is a week old or so. We don't know how this is going to play out, but you do remember how the Jim Elliot story ended. He was killed. His wife continued to work towards that people and
went to live there
and eventually reached them for the gospel.
Yeah.
So I don't. If that were to happen, maybe we'd have
my
a
heart.
Different...
Yeah, my heart goes out to the Chow family because their son is dead, and I'm sure they must have been trying to get him not to do this, which is why he wrote what he did. So I agree in part, Tim, with you. There has to have been a better way than just dropping this kid off on the beach. I don't know.
I know. It sounded like to me he went in solo.
He did go in solo.
Okay, well then he may have been rogue. You know, this may not have been sanctioned by the sending agency.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
It's like missionaries that'll go into North Korea, and then they get arrested. You know, and then we have to get them out, and that's happened on occasion.
Anyway,
obviously the young man was very brave, and what else plays into this? Well, I guess we'll find out as this story unfolds.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just point your direction to things that are happening in Paris right now. For those of you who think that we are headed towards some kind of a socialist utopia with the candidates on the Democrat side that are, you know, the Ocasio-Cortezes that want to do socialist things, Paris is burning. They are having mass riots as gas taxes increase, and the Champs-Élysées is full of fights and all kinds of smoke and
now you're just showing just off awful. There. What is smoking? Because you speak French.
Oui.
What was that you just mentioned?
The Champs-Élysées?
Yeah.
The Champs-Élysées, it's the, I don't know how to say it with an English accent, Champs-Élysées.
Well,
it's the main
right
boulevard.
Right back at you. I don't know how to say it in a French accent.
It's the main boulevard that goes toward the Arc de Triomphe in the middle of Paris.
Okay.
It's the big iconic boulevard where all the shopping goes on in one of them in Paris. So they're upset. But let me put this in a little context. The taxes are going up. They are being taxed beyond their burden to bear, but the reason that they're taxed so much is because this is their work package. France has a 10-week holiday a year for its workers, a 35-hour work week, and anybody that works 39 and a half hours or more gets an extra 23 days on top of the standard 27 days of vacation.
Now, this is national law. This isn't just working in the federal bureaucracy or the national bureaucracy.
10 weeks paid vacation per year. Are we going to open up a side business in Paris?
Maybe we can open up an office in the Bon
Service.
I think there's a reason why the U.S. is the economic engine of the world.
It could be.
Because we're not on vacation for 10 weeks.
Good night.
On the other hand, you can see why they have time to protest.
Wow.
Duly noted, Steve. All right. Thanks for listening, folks, to American Family Radio. We appreciate you doing so. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.